Welcome everybody to our latest podcast. Today it's me, Duncan Williams, and one of my business partners, John Newsome.
Good morning.
As we usually do, we'll have a run through economy, the markets and our industry, just picking up on one or two things which we think are prevalent at this moment in time. For regular listeners, we always start, or we have been always starting, with inflation and interest rates. And everything is linked together, which I don't think people realise, or some people don't realise. And the most interesting thing over the last few weeks has been that mortgage rates have been creeping up. Whilst interest rates haven't gone up, there hasn't been a great deal of news with regard to inflation. There is this morning in the fact that shop prices haven't gone up quite as much. But it does make me think that mortgage rates going up across the board indicates that the financial institutions in the UK are becoming more wary about where interest rates are going to go, and the fact that they've, if I dare say, been sold a pup with regard to the number of interest rate cuts this year. John?
You've run off message again, haven't you?
I know, you keep telling me that.
There were going to be 5 or 6 interest rate cuts this year, and they were going to start like last month, but it doesn't seem to be working that way, does it? I saw someone yesterday saying that there might be one this year and it would start in November. So
would that coincide with the election?
Well, obviously the Bank of England is supposed to be independent and all that. But there's a lot of wishful thinking been going on. And I think really all we need to say is that the global economy has become, and I think as this year unfolds, there is ever more evidence for this, that the global economy has become much more prone to these little inflationary fires that keep burning. And if you've got a 2% inflation target, it's going to be very difficult to get rates down. No central bank really has any credibility left. If they cut rates too early and then they have to put them back up again, then what little credibility they have will have totally evaporated. So it's a bit like painting the floor. And instead of starting from a corner and moving outwards, they've started from the centre of the room and backed themselves into a corner. All their policy options are now pretty much done. And you can see the full horror of the mess that major central banks have made over the past, well, I was going to say 2 or 3 years, actually. You could probably go all the way back to the financial crisis and even before that. It looks a mess out there, and I don't think that interest rates are going to be, as we've said many, many times, that we're going to be looking at rapid interest rate cuts or even meaningful interest rate cuts. As the ex-US Treasury Secretary Larry Summers said, how about an interest rate hike? The situation out there is not as good as many people would wish it to be. We constantly now live, I think, in the land of make-believe. We can believe in falling interest rates just because people want to. We can believe that we're going to have an energy transition that can happen without fossil fuels. I mean, you can believe all that stuff if you want, but it's not going to work.
You don't have to answer this, John, but why can we see things which the Bank of England can't see? For example, I mean, I think that most of our listeners have motor cars, and it's clear that car insurance has been going up, so that is inflationary. But at the moment, we're all aware, because we're British and always are talking about it, the weather has been appalling. And so I was talking to some farmers the other week, and their crops are getting off to a very late start. It is anticipated that the harvest this year may not be as good. The yields might be down. That would affect everything from bread, biscuits and beer. Or will we have a 1976 summer which will bring all the crops on? Who knows? We're not here to predict the weather.
Well, do you think Andrew Bailey ever talks to a farmer? I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? We're just ordinary blokes that live in North Yorkshire. Yeah. We just come from an ordinary background and live in the real world.
Yeah.
I think far too many people tasked with making decisions at either political level or the Bank of England, central bank level, they don't live in the real world. They live in an utter bubble that, as I say, the land of make-believe. You can believe it for as long as you want, but it won't come true.
There's something to be said for grassroots research. The other thing which just slightly worries me is that there are now fewer job vacancies, so that might not end well.
If you walk around with your eyes open, you can see that there are still quite a lot of vacancies. You know, a lot of businesses are still looking to take on labour. I think a lot of this comes down to the fact that a significant minority percentage of the workforce is not very good, shall we say. Therefore, people who can get out of bed in the morning and do a decent day's graft, there is a war for their services. And so I think that's one of the reasons why you've got this situation where the economy isn't doing brilliantly, yet unemployment hasn't really gone up, and that you've got businesses competing for good people.
And obviously there's an election this year. I wonder how much the market has discounted a change of government. From the polls, etc., it's pretty obvious to see the direction of travel. I just wonder whether we've fully anticipated it. I see the UK economy as a supertanker. It's very difficult to speed it up, slow it down, turn it left, turn it right. So it doesn't really matter who's in power. But I'm a bit surprised perhaps that the pound hasn't weakened a little bit for a Labour government. I wonder whether that's still to happen. Maybe it won't happen. But if the pound were to weaken, then there's only one solution to that, and that's higher interest rates still. Lower interest rates will be inflationary for the economy.
In a more globalised world, governments have less power than they used to. So I don't think that any incoming government, it doesn't matter of which political persuasion, their room for manoeuvre is going to be pretty limited. There certainly can't be a spending splurge because you've already got a massive spending deficit way beyond what's been taken in terms of taxation revenue. So I don't think it actually will make that much difference. I mean, I accept this government is appalling, but the one that's likely to replace it, I suspect, will be even more appalling. But their room for manoeuvre and what they're actually going to be able to do, I think, is pretty minimal.
And a regular question we get asked by our clients is, how are our portfolios positioned? Should there be that change of government? And it's always relatively straightforward to answer that. The majority of our investments are in companies which either trade globally or in companies which are listed overseas, or funds which do the same thing. So, for example, Nestle, which, as everyone knows, makes coffees and Kit Kats, how's that going to be affected by a change of government? It isn't, I don't think. I can't see us buying more coffee or less coffee, and ditto Kit Kats. I think what's a more prevalent question is what will happen to the pound if another government were to get things badly wrong. That's where your investment is going to be affected. But in terms of Swiss francs, I can't see a change in government making any difference at all.
We'd rather make long-term decisions or long-term commitments to businesses of quality and leave it at that. I think if you get sidetracked by who's going to win the general election or who's going to win the US election, whatever, I think you're wasting your time.
Take a long-term view. Right, let's move on. We've mentioned Thames Water before. Thames Water is clearly up the creek without a paddle.
No pun intended.
No, absolutely. And one of its solutions for all of its mistakes is to put Thames Water customers' bills up by 44% over the next 5 years. And that doesn't include the retail price index movement as well.
That whole kind of infrastructure model, which was to take it private, jack it up with as much debt as you possibly could and rip as much out as you could in dividends. I mean, that is not a logical basis. If that were your family business, would you run it like that? It's now been proven to be a disaster in terms of, I mean, of course, interest rates were never going to go up, were they? So now you've got, what is it, a 14 billion debt burden. The price of debt has probably gone up threefold. It was just an idiotic capital structure. Yes, make no mistake, the owners of that business deserve to lose it. But what was the regulator doing? What is the point of having a regulator if they don't regulate? If you were the regulator, might you have said to them, if you're going to have such an aggressive capital structure, then we are going to expect a limit on the cash that can come out of that business. But the regulator has done absolutely nothing. It's like the regulation of every industry in this country, really. It doesn't work.
No. And the other point, of course, is from an investor's point of view, there are now vultures circling the distressed debt, the bonds which Thames Water has issued. Now, I acknowledge it is a fairly specialist investment, that. So their mainstream funds might not be buying distressed Thames Water bonds, but some of them might be. And that can be fixed interest funds, it can be cautious managed funds, etc., etc. People ask, why do we not touch that sort of thing? It's far too high risk as far as we're concerned. A lot of investors associate bonds with being safe. I personally would rather own Nestle, which has paid a dividend for the last 150 years and is probably likely to continue to pay a dividend.
Distressed debt is a very specialist corner of the market. And it's one of those situations where actually, if you're buying distressed debt, the debt becomes the equity if it goes the whole hog and it ends up in some form of administration. It's never going to be something that we're going to be interested in. But yeah, the debt could well become the equity in that business.
But my point is that there's £14.5 billion worth of debt out there. Somebody owns that. I hope it's not you. So finally, let's move on to our own industry. The Financial Conduct Authority has come out and said that it wants to ensure that consumer duty rules have been applied and is now monitoring that very carefully indeed. Some of the bigger organisations have fallen foul, and I note that St James's Place, which has made various announcements of late, which is a national firm of financial advisors, their first quarter inflows of new business has halved, and I think people can read what they want into that.
Looking at it from the outside, I think that the business model is not sustainable, and therefore things are going to have to change quite radically. And that's reflected in the share price, yeah.
It has. I mean, the share price is down by 2/3 over the last year or so, and they have said that they are changing their business model. So it'll be an interesting one to watch that. And lastly, rightly so, the regulator wants to continue to clamp down on misleading adverts. Believe it or not, there are 10,000 scams out there and 2,243 unauthorised firms and individuals. Your mind boggles why any potential client would take investment advice from an organisation which, A, isn't regulated. And it's very easy to find out if a firm is regulated. It has to be on their website or their correspondence. And the FCA very conveniently keep a register. You can check out whether the company's authorised or not. And you can also see all the individuals who work there and the pasts of those individuals and any discipline which has been taken against either individuals or firms. When you're investing money, it's a very, very important part of your overall financial position, and you need to make sure you do your homework properly. The regulator makes it very easy to do due diligence. Right, thank you very much indeed for listening. That brings another podcast to an end. We discussed interest rates, as we usually do as grumpy old men. We mentioned Thames Water and its debt, and a little bit about what the FCA is trying to do to improve the quality of advice, which is passed on to you who are listening. Please do listen to us next time, and please do subscribe. Please do tell your friends too. Thank you very much.
This material shouldn't be considered as advice or an investment recommendation. You should consult an advisor regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority prior to making investment decisions. All investments carry a degree of risk. The value of any investment or income received from it can go up as well as down, and you may not get back the amount invested. Information recorded within this podcast was accurate at the time of recording.